You know what we're teaching today, right? No, you know what we're teaching. What are we teaching today? Ripe. So we're going to talk about ripe. Ripe is the systematic plan that God gave this church to start the beginning of the year. And ripe stands for what? R stands for what?
Read.
I stands for what?
Invite.
P stands for?
Pray.
And E stands for what?
Expect.
So as we get started, I got a question. We're going to talk about, how many read your Bible this week? Ooh, awesome. So I'm just asking. Here's a test. So we're in the book of right now what?
Exos.
Okay, we're in the book of what?
Acts.
If you didn't know, we're in the book of Acts. We're in chapter 4 today. It's not too late. How many read chapter 4 already? Okay, I can't put my hands up. I didn't read it yet. Okay. But how many know it's not too late? Okay. How many read 3 yesterday? Was that awesome? I said, was that awesome?
That's such an awesome chapter.
How many know every chapter is awesome in the Bible? So here's my question. So we're going to talk about invite today. I want to show you a couple of scriptures, and then I just want to, train you. I want to teach you. But here's my question first. Who introduced you to Jesus? Who introduced you to Jesus? So, Aline, tell us who introduced you to Jesus.
Pico First Baptist Church.
So,
under
church.
Under your father. No, at the beginning it wasn't your dad, but that's where I accepted the Lord.
Well, who invited you to the church?
A friend.
Awesome. That is so cool. Arlene, who introduced you to Jesus?
My parents.
Your parents. Awesome. That's cool. Isaac, who introduced you to Jesus?
My parents.
Good. That's awesome. We are seeing something. I'm going to talk to your parents about that in a minute. Paul, who introduced you to Jesus?
Kurt Bottomley, the pastor at Emmanuel Presbyterian Church.
Awesome. Brian, who introduced you to Jesus?
My parents.
Your parents. Good. Tamara, who introduced you to Jesus?
What is that? I don't know.
Who
actually connected me with him?
Yeah. You could tell him who. I mean, I'm not saying me. Who introduced you to Jesus? Okay, let me here. I'll help you. I wasn't looking for me. No. Here, I'll help her. Here's, you know what? God spoke to her. God spoke to her. But I want to say this because it's interesting. Because as I talk to different people, I'll go into her testimony a little later. But both Tamara and Paul's testimony was when they were kids. They went to, just for a short period of time, but they went to some little kids club at the school. I want to talk about invite, and I'm going to go over a couple of scriptures, and then I'm going to just train you. I already say this is a training center. So if I ask you this, and you don't have to answer this question, but I want you to think about it. Because here's the plan. Everyone, I want you to invite one person next week. Everybody. Now watch this. Watch what will happen to our church. And here's the plan. All of us are going to invite somebody to our church next week. And every week, we're going to invite a new person to our church. We have nearly 350 people between first and second service and the third service, Esperanza. Imagine what would happen if every single one of us, everybody say every single one of us. See, that's a critical component because here's what happens. You know what? I'm sitting, and Micah, it is so good to have you. This is Micah. He is in charge. I don't even know his official title, but I don't even know it. But Micah is helping. He works with Teen Challenge and specifically their Bible training college in Southgate. And I've been to the facility. They're doing an awesome job, and he's here with us, so we thank God for it. But I can sit. Amen. Pleasure to have you. But I can sit here and I can listen to this sermon, and I'm not thinking, well, you know, let me tell you what, Micah's way more extroverted than I am. You know what I mean? And, you know, so, Micah, I hope you hear this message, because I'm not inviting nobody next week because I'm introverted. See, and then I can sit next to Arlene and say the same, Aline, I know your name, Aline, and say the same thing.
Amen.
Arlene's over there. I can say, you know what I mean? And listen, and I can relate to the introverted people. You think I can't because you see me on Sunday and I'm, you know what? We got a mission to do. You know. But the truth is, I have to get out of my comfort zone to invite somebody to church. And so if that's you, here's what I'm saying. Everyone needs to invite somebody to church next week. This is not, it's not a category. You know what? It is God's commandment to all of us. You know what? And there are things, how many know there's things that come easier to you than other things? Okay, here's what I'm saying. Here, I'm just asking, did you come to church or did you come to change? See? Are we going to allow God to really speak to us, that we hear God? Can Jesus command us? Are we commandable? You know what? Can Jesus tell us, like he did the apostles, get in the boat? Or do we go like, let me tell you what, I'm having my lunch right now. I'm going to get in the boat after. Right? Now let me, I'm not, you know what, you be, Jesus, that's a little bit bossy. Can I tell you what, let me tell you about Christianity. It's a kingdom, and Jesus is the king. So I'm trying to say it in a nice way, but what I'm saying is I'm recruiting everybody, and I'm saying don't put yourself out of the mix because you're introverted. Or you're not, or you don't live around many people. Or watch this, or all the people that you know, everybody in Pico Rivera is Catholic. Come on. You know, you can come up, or you're having a bad hair day. See, you see where I'm going? You can come up and all of a sudden it's, man, I'm glad Micah's gonna do the work of the kingdom because somebody's got. No. This is about all of us. Everybody say all of us. All of us. Everybody say all of us means me. So you guys ready to learn some stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's where do I want to go first? Let's first go to Ephesians. Let's talk about my part. Okay? Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. You know what? You can turn that in your Bibles or you can look at it up here on the screen. This is we're reading out of the New King James. There's a lot of good versions, but you can follow us word for word up here on the screens. Look what it says. And he himself. You know who he himself is? That's Jesus. There's things that you can delegate, but this one, God's, you know what? Jesus is not going to delegate to anyone. And he himself gave to some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Everybody say pastors and teachers. Okay. So my role as the pastor of this church is, let me show you my role. Next verse. Why does God call some into the pastorate? Here's why. For the equipping of the saints. Say, I'm a saint. I don't care how you feel. The Bible calls you a saint. Okay? That's who you are. If you're born again, you're a saint. For the equipping of the saints. Why? For the work of the ministry. For the edification of the body of Christ. So, how many know there's some work to do? How many know we could go over to Home Depot right now and find some people who are far from God? How many know we could go to Starbucks, find some people far from God? You know what? Rite Aid right now. Some people who are far from God. You know what I mean? How many know that's true? So we have some work to do. So that's, I just want to set you up, because what I'm going to do today specifically is train you how to invite people. Train you how to invite people. Okay. You guys ready for this? So I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'll talk real fast. 7 things that'll help you to invite. How many need some help to invite people? How many people felt like I felt when I took the cards yesterday? I took Hispanic cards and English cards. I walked across the street to the AutoZone, and I walked around in the parking lot, and I felt really uncomfortable because I was going to pass somebody cards out and invite somebody to church. How many of that, even that suggestion, you're just like freaked out. You're like, how many would that freak out? How many if I gave you cards and said, hey, go on over and don't come back till you pass out all these cards? How many would you be freaked out a little bit? Some of you aren't telling the truth. Raise your hand if that would freak you out. Okay. Thank you. Listen, I'm going to train you today. You know, so it's you, and you'll still be freaked out a little bit, but you know what? But that's part of the training, okay? So number one, understand this. You must understand your purpose. You've got to understand. Here, listen. Have you noticed? Have you noticed Jesus isn't here? No. He's at the right. He's at the right hand of the Father. That's where Jesus is. Have you noticed Jesus isn't here? Come on, somebody say amen to this. The Holy Spirit is here. Jesus is the right hand of the Father interceding. The Holy Spirit is given to us to empower us to be able to move in the power of His Spirit. Oh, this is good preaching. But to understand our purpose, my point is Jesus isn't here, you're here. Jesus said, it's good that I go, because when I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Now, He gets people filled with the Spirit. The Bible says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. How many know that's a powerful Spirit? That same Spirit is living in you. I didn't just go. I'm getting way ahead of myself. Go to Matthew chapter 28, right here up on the screen. And Jesus said and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. But watch this. Next verse. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. You go. I'm leaving. You go. Jesus is not here. I'm leaving. You go. Now watch this. This is so awesome. Go, therefore. Not a lean go. Not Micah go. No, you go. Which includes Aline and Micah and Paul. But this is for all of us. Amen. Watch this next verse. This is so awesome. Watch this. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. The Spirit of God. I didn't go across the street alone. I went across the street with the same power that raised Jesus Christ up in me. We haven't been given the spirit of fear. I'm not saying that you can't feel fear. I'm saying we walk by faith and not by sight. Is this making sense? So we first have to understand, guys, this is our job. This is our purpose. You know what, Mike, I set them up all the time and I say, hey, listen, how many have a friend that you want to invite to church next week? How many have a friend that you want to invite? Raise your hand if you have somebody in mind, okay? Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write their name on a card, put their phone number on the card, and put it up here before you leave, and I'll text them or call them for you next week. How many know that ain't gonna happen? I mean, great, write their name down. You know what? Write their phone number down. But you take it home and you call them. Why? Because that's your job. We have to understand our purpose. And what we do is we think, no, this is Tamara's purpose. That's Micah's purpose. That's Pastor Paul's purpose. No, this is all our purposes. This is all our purpose. So number one, understand your purpose. Number two, do not allow fear to control you. Do not allow fear to... Listen, don't let Satan speak to you, tell you, oh, you go across the street and they're all going to think you're weird. They're going to, let's see, what are they going to do? See, a lot of times we let fear grip us, and that's how Satan works. He works through fear. I'm not saying that you can't feel fear. I'm saying run to it. Don't run away from it. Run towards it. Couple of passages that will help you. In the book of Acts chapter 5, we're going to read this tomorrow, I think. Such an awesome passage. Watch this. And the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. The apostles get thrown in jail. God shakes things up. Boom, they're released supernaturally. And they're kind of like, whoa, what's going on here? And they round them back up again. What the heck? We put them in jail, and how come they're out? You know what I mean? So next verse, watch this. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council and the high priest and asked them, next verse, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach, main thing, in his name? Jesus' most powerful name there is. And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. Next verse. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, listen, we ought to obey God rather than men. Say, listen, now here's my point. When others tell you to be quiet, obey God. That's your job. That's your purpose. Going to all the earth. Yeah, but the demonic tells you to be quiet. No, don't listen to them. Peter's saying, what should we do? Should we listen to men or should we listen to God? Here. What's the answer? Listen to God. Don't allow your fear to intimidate you. Next verse. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus. Now he starts preaching to them, who you murdered by hanging on the tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior and to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witness to these things. Who's going to testify of the things of God? You are. And so also is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him. Then when they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. See, all eyes up here. Are you going to be intimidated? Because let me tell you what, when you start passing out invitation cards, you're going to get some pushback. When you start being bold for Christ, I'm telling you, you're going to get some pushback. And here's the question. You can't allow them to push back. You can't allow them to push you down. You can't allow them to shut you up. Don't talk about Jesus. Well, there's no other name by which men are saved. How in the world are we supposed to get, you know what I mean? How in the world does Teen Challenge get people off drugs? Because, and I'm not saying, listen, if anyone's trying to get people off drugs, thank God I'm for them. But let me tell you what, we can go to all kinds of drug rehabilitation centers where they're not talking about Jesus, and I guarantee you statistically the rate of success is almost nil. Why? Because the power of Jesus, it's that name. You know, we're not ashamed of the gospel. Listen to what Romans says. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power unto salvation. You know what that word salvation is? Sozo. It's the power to make people whole. And we can talk about all kinds of silly things. But let me tell you what people need. People need Jesus. You know what? Give me a shot right here. You're looking straight in my eye. Somebody who's going to watch me on the internet. Can I tell you what? I love you, but I'm not afraid to tell you. Can I tell you what? You need Jesus. He's the one that's going to deliver you. He's the one that's going to set you free. He's the one that can break these bondages. And we can't be afraid of Jesus. We can't be afraid of sharing. Listen, somebody shared Jesus with you or you'd still be in bondage. Aren't you glad they weren't afraid? Aren't you glad they weren't afraid? We can't allow them to intimidate us. They were furious. Look at verse 40. Excuse me, look at verse 40, guys, quickly. And they agreed with him. And then they called for the apostles. So here's what happens. This guy stands up and says, oh, you better watch it because they could be of God. And so they said, yeah, maybe they could be. But watch this. But they're still furious. And when they had called the apostles and beat them, they commanded them that they should not speak. What? In the name of Jesus. Well, Peter's not changed his mind. He's like, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to God. What's his purpose? His purpose, he was commanded by Jesus, just like you were commanded by Jesus, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Here's the good news. The good news is that Jesus makes people whole. Amen. You can't be ashamed. They're trying to shut down specifically the name of Jesus, but they let him go. Now, here's the thing. They're plotting to kill him. They beat him. And they're furious at him. So watch this. I love this. Next verse. And, 40. And they agreed with them. Oh, I'm sorry, 41. And so they departed in the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. Listen, don't be depressed because somebody took your invitation cards and said, you know what, this is stupid, and acted like it's a frisbee. Can I tell you what? That could just be a sign that the Holy Spirit is working on them. Next verse. Watch this, so powerful. So what do they do? They're beaten. They're told to not speak in the name of Jesus. And they're plotting to kill them. So what do? And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as Christ. You know what Paul prays? Paul prays, pray for me that I would have the boldness to say what I ought to say. Amen. All right, learn something. Number one, understand your purpose. Number two, understand, don't allow fear to control you. Number three, do not forget to tap into the supernatural. Don't forget to tap into the supernatural. At the end, go back to Matthew 28. We'll look at 19 and 20 again. Matthew 28. Look at 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Watch this next verse. Teaching them to observe all things command you, and lo, I am with you always, even in the end of the age. Don't forget the supernatural spirit that God lives inside you. See, I'm not going across the street by myself. I'm going with the Spirit of God. Amen. You know what? I'm going with the Spirit of God. I go over there and I'm praying. And I'm not just praying in English. I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm praying in the Spirit. And what are you praying? I don't know what I'm praying. But I know it's good. Amen. I know, you know, the Bible says when you pray in the Spirit, you pray perfectly to God and you're praying God's will. So I'm praying and I know, God, you're going to direct me. You're going to direct me. So I go over and I see this guy and I sense that the Holy Spirit wants me to speak to him. So I talk to him. And I thought I was just going to give him a card. I gave him a card, invited him to church. And then I stepped back and I said, and he had a really nice Ford truck, brand new Ford truck, beautiful. Have you seen the new Fords? They are beautiful. Yeah, so I'm like, man, this is nice. I said, hey, this is a nice truck. And he said, yeah, start talking about Australia. It was nice. And I said, are you, did you look at the Chevys or the Dodges? And he was like, he said, no, I'm, if you're Chevy or Dodge person, don't get mad at him. Anyway, but he was like, no. And I was like, he's like, no, I've had this Ford before that. And man, they just run. He said, Pastor, but is that really, I thought you were supposed to invite him to church. Well, thank you, Tamara. That's my helpmate right there. No, you know what? I'm called to go over there and be led by the Spirit. See, can I just talk to you about stuff that you want to talk about? Because a lot of times, they don't really want to care about what we know until they know how much we care. And listen, and I wasn't being superficial. I liked his truck. I'm not talking about, I'm not talking about like being a salesperson. You know what I'm saying? We went to this timeshare thing. You know, they get you in this timeshare. They sit you down. And so we sit down and we're not interested, but we have got to sit down to this last lady. And the last lady, you know what she says? We sit down and what did she say? Something about, I've been chanting all day. Or she said something, I've been chanting all day or something like that. Then she finds out I'm a pastor, and all of a sudden she's talking about Jesus. I'm like, were you chanting to Jesus, or what's going on here? See, here's what I'm teaching you. Can we just relate to people? You know what? Can we just relate? Listen, our message is strange enough as it is. Is it not? You know what? The Bible says, man, this stuff is, Jesus Christ came, took your sins on his body, died on the cross, and because he shed his blood, that can take away all your sins? Now, you've heard that, and you know it's true. You're like, that is absolutely true. But can I tell you what? Can we talk a little bit about his Ford truck for a minute? And then we went from his truck to talking about other stuff. And talk about the Dodgers. And here's the thing. Listen to me. You know who did most of the talking? Okay, listen, I'm training. You know who did most of the talking? He did. And I just let him talk because I wanted to hear his heart. And then after I heard his heart, then I was able to say some things. Here's my point, guys. You know what? You've got to walk in the supernatural. I'm not asking you just to hand out cards. I'm asking you to be on purpose and be led by the Spirit and connect with people. Does this make sense? Number three, or number four, you got to speak up. Acts, you just read this. Acts chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Look, Acts chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. And when they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these those who spoke Galatians? This is where Jesus said, stay right here. Don't move till the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. Holy Spirit falls on them. They start speaking in tongues. Everybody's tripping out because they're hearing Jesus. They're hearing the praise of God, but they're hearing it in their own language. And they know that these guys don't speak their language. So they're kind of tripping out on that. Then verse 8, and how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Then go down to verse 12. Look at verse 12. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Next verse. Others mocked and said, they are full of new wine. Next verse. Here's my point. But Peter, everybody say, but Peter. Standing up with the 12, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, that let this be known to you and heed my words. Here's my point. You got to speak up, guys. See, if you go into your family Christmas dinner and you're prayed up and you're waiting for the opportunity, and you don't have to force the opportunity, but you're waiting for the opportunity. See, what do I think happened? I think Peter was led by the Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit said, Peter, stand up and start preaching the gospel now. He stood up, start preaching the gospel. But here's what I want you to notice. You got to speak up. Now, somebody says, no, they will see my actions. Well, no, duh. Amen. I mean, do me a favor. Don't be running, you know, don't be going down. Listen, if you have Jesus loves me as a bumper sticker, do me a favor. When somebody cuts you off, don't flip them off. Hello? Somebody said it's too late. Well, today's a new day. Amen. Here's what I'm saying. Listen. We need to, and I know we're all working through our stuff. I know that. But can I tell you what? We need to, as best we can, that our actions would match our words. Man, you know what? That's why we say, you know what? This is my Bible. I have what it says ever. I have. Do what it says ever. Mind is alert. Heart is receptive. Ready to receive the infallible word. And having received the word of God, I will do the word of God. I know you're working through your things. I am too. But I tell you what, I'm behaving. My actions are better than they were, you know what, 5 years ago. I look more like, I act more like Jesus. See, that's why it's critical that you come to church, that you read your Bible every day. Because you what's your problem? Somebody point and tell me what your problem is. Come on, somebody got. Get your finger out. Say, Pastor, this is my problem. Okay? It's your thinking. You think wrong, you do wrong, and you reap wrong. You think right the way God says. You get His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You think what He thinks, it's going to change everything. Why? Because it's going to change your actions. You change your actions, then you're going to change what you sow, you change what you sow, and you're going to change what you reap. Amen. Is that not right?
Right.
Yeah, but notice, you got to stand up. You got to say something. He sees in the opportunity. Now, again, I'm not saying that your actions aren't important. I'm saying I could show this to you over and over and over in the Word of God where people are changing because somebody else is saying something. How did you get changed? Who invited you to Christ? Who introduced you to Jesus? I guarantee you. You know what? They did it with their mouth. They said something. Are you learning something? Number one, you got to understand your purpose. Number two, you can't allow fear to control you. Number three, you have to step in the supernatural. Number four, you got to speak up. And number five, you have to recognize people are watching you. How many people are watching you? Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 14. You are the light of the world. Oh, yes, hallelujah. Jesus is the light of the world. Hallelujah. 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 This is Jesus speaking, and he's talking about you and me. Jesus says, you're the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Stop right there. All of a sudden, see, sometimes we read the descriptive words of how Jesus speaks. We don't understand what he's talking about. Here's what he's saying. Guys, here's what's going to happen. When you start acting like me, you can't hide that.
Yeah, that's it. Amen. Come on.
Had a friend when I was in grocery store years ago, and I invited him to church. He got born again, started serving. I mean, his whole life changed. You know what I mean? Whole life changed. God started doing, you know what? He was kind of a real selfish, you know what? Had gone through a divorce, was disconnected with his kids. His wife was really bitter. And he just became a nice guy. And his wife was so cynical at first, but as years went forward, you know what? He just started reaching out to his kids, reaching out to his ex-wife. And God just started doing a supernatural thing. His life changed because his thinking was changing. So one night after work, somebody had a pornographic magazine, and you know what? They're, you know what, doing whatever, you know, silly guys do. And they tried to show it to my friend Matt. And I love what Matt said. He said, I don't want to see that. That doesn't glorify my Father in heaven. See, sometimes we just get way too comfortable with sin. And we're just like, oh, I don't want to offend anybody. Listen, when you start standing up for righteousness, guys, you're going to offend somebody. You're going to offend a lot of people. But let me tell you, the goal is not to offend for offense's sake. The goal is that sometimes, listen, if we don't stand up for righteousness, how in the world are they going to know? Jesus' point, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Jesus was changing my friend Pat. He wasn't trying to be religious out there in the Lucky's parking lot. He was just testifying. You couldn't hide it. Watch this next verse. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. That night in the parking lot at Lucky's, there was a light that shone. And you have no idea. I have no idea. Because those guys that were looking at the magazine, for all you know, some of them might have been raised at church. And Pat shone the light. And conviction could have come to some of them. Next verse. Watch this. So powerful. Next verse. Let your light so shine before men. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your what?
Good works
and glorify the Father in heaven. One of my favorite verses in the New Testament. Here's what I'm saying. Do you got to speak up? Yeah, you got to speak up. But you also got to do up. I know that's not perfect English. But here's what I'm saying. You have to act like Jesus and then testify about Christ. Listen, and don't wait. You know, some of you are like, okay, yeah, Pastor, but I've only been coming to church for 4 months, and you know what, I still got some issues. Hey, what are you going to wait for? Because let me tell you about Satan. Satan's telling you, you got to wait. He's always going to be telling you, you got to wait. No, listen. God knows you're not perfect. You think Peter was perfect when he spoke up? How many know Peter still had issues when he spoke up? How many know Paul still had issues when he spoke up? You know what I mean? All kinds of men. David had issues when he spoke up. But don't be fooled. Yes, you need to act like Jesus. We need to not be hypocritical. But if we're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, then guess what? You're being faked out by Satan. God can use you in your imperfection to testify. And you can just be honest with me. Hey, I'm still working on some things, but let me tell you what I do know. I do know that I used to be so mad at my ex-wife, and you know what? Now, I'm not mad at her at all. Are you learning something? Number five, they're watching you. Number six, recognize we are the body of Christ. Christ is gone. He's at the right hand of the Father. Spirit living in you. We are his hands and his feet. And number seven, and I'll stop with this. Did you learn something? And number seven, and I'll stop with this. I touched on it a little bit, but in Acts chapter 3, verse 4, we read this yesterday. And fixing his eyes on him with John and Peter, he said, look at us. Okay, let me tell you the story. The story is this guy, he's a beggar. He's at the gate. He's begging. Peter and John, they're coming in to pray. They see this guy. This guy prays. He's like, hey, I'm going to teach this Wednesday in detail. But he's asking for some money. And they say, you know, there's silver and gold. We don't have any money, but we have something. We want to give it to you. But here's what I saw the Holy Spirit point this out to me the other day. And fixing his eyes on him. They're looking at him. And I believe, I said this to the people who came to pray with us this morning, I believe that here's what happened. I believe that, and I know I'm reading in between the lines here, but that's there for some reason. How many know stuffing in the word just to filler? Well, let's see, I got to make it a little longer. You used to do, how many did that in junior high? You know what I mean? You're like, it's got to be 2 pages. I'll talk about how the tree was green. Here, I add one word. Lots of leaves. Ooh, lots of leaves. That's some more. You know, that's not how the Bible works. Fixing his eyes upon him. I'm believing that I believe this is what happened. I believe that Peter and John, they saw him, and they didn't just see him, they fixed on him. Here, I'll say it like this. They began to really care about him. Have you ever seen somebody and then really seen them? Ever seen somebody and they're going through something? And I remember I was listening to Jack Hayford one time, and I don't listen to a lot of Jack Hayford, but he was on the radio and I tuned in and I was listening to him, and he said, you know what, we need to not have contempt for sinners, we need to have compassion for sinners. What that's what I believe is happening. I'm believing there's this thing that happens, and you can look at somebody. You ever hear this adage? People that really don't want to know how much you know till they know how much you care. Here's what I believe happened. I believe that they fixed their eyes on this guy, and they had this heart of compassion to think. How many know that sometimes the Holy Spirit can dump something in you just like in milliseconds? That ever happened to you? Ripe came to me in about, I would say, a second and a half, the whole thing. And it's interesting because God can slow it all down, and it's just slowed down, and it's just coming. But you know, all of a sudden it's there. You're thinking, how in the world did I come up with this? I believe that all happened right here in this passage as they fixed their eyes. Here's what I believe. I believe when they looked at that guy, they didn't just look at him as somebody who was begging. They saw a father who couldn't, whose child was about to fall, and the father couldn't run and catch the child before she fell. Couldn't do it. A father who couldn't have a product, couldn't go to work and make money and come home and give it to the family, but instead had to have somebody pick him up, carry him at this place, set him down, and he had to beg. See, here's what I'm saying. When I handed that guy yesterday, and I handed a lot of cards out yesterday, but when I handed that guy that card and we started talking, I had no quota. I wasn't like, I had a stack of cards in Spanish, I had a stack of cards in English, but I didn't go over there singing, oh shit, you're gonna pass out all these cards. That wasn't my deal. I just went over there and thought, you know what I wanna do? Here's what I don't wanna do. I don't wanna tell you to do something that I won't do. And so I thought, man, I'm talking about invite. I better get over there and start to invite. I better, because I know how I was going to feel. And I walked over there, and I felt like, oh, you know what? And I started praying in the Spirit, and I just said, God, you've told me to do it, and you've promised never to leave me or forsake me. Sure with me. So I'm not going to do this in my power, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to connect to some people. And the first guy I talked to, we start talking about his truck, and then we start talking about his work, and then we start talking about other things. You know what? Spiritual things now. And at some point in time, I said something to him, prophetic. I didn't know, but when I said it, I knew that I was stepping into the prophetic. And I said something to him, and his eyes got really big. And I knew, oh my goodness, I'm connecting with this guy. But can I tell you what? I had that when I looked at his truck. And I just thought, I'm just going to hang out with this guy. And I had this heart of compassion, not contempt. And not condescending either. Let me just teach you that for a minute. If I'm going to try to connect with you, I can't connect up here. I'm Pastor Drew. I'm in a Bible college. You know what? I know more scripture than you, and I pray more than you, and you know what? You probably smoke dope. Not you. Right? Listen, how am I supposed to, you know what? As we were talking, you know what? I related some stuff that I'd gone through. And I said, and I'm still going through some stuff. What am I doing? First of all, that's honest. But second of all, I don't want to be condescending to him. Can I tell you what? I hope every single one of us is hearing God speak to you in some way. The main way I hope he's speaking to you is to understand, in a practical sense, God, help us not to just hear, help us not to be hearers. Watch this. But doers, help us not to be hearers only. Help us to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Besides Paul, does anybody know what the next phrase he says, James says after this? Besides Jonathan. Here's what he says. Deceiving yourselves. See, can I tell you what? This, and I've told you already at the beginning of the year, I'm going to love you, but I'm not really going to hold any punches. That's what I hear the Holy Spirit saying. But here's what I hear him saying today. You hearing a message on inviting somebody and being convicted isn't inviting somebody. You know when you're going to invite somebody? When you take those cards, they're in front of every single one of you on purpose, and you put them in your purse or you put them in your car, you know what? And you invite some money. And for all I know, because of your busyness, because some of you have jobs that they just don't lend itself to inviting people. Some of you do, but many of you don't. You're going to have to do what I did yesterday. You're going to have to take those cards, and you're going to have to go to the Winchell's Donuts parking lot. Do we still have any Winchell's Donuts? I don't know. Okay. Yes, they're still okay. So go wherever. You know, you're going to have to go to Taco Bell, and you're going to have to walk around there, and you're going to have to invite some people. And listen, and everything in your flesh is going to tell you, you're not like him. And that's when Paul takes his flesh and says, listen, you are not controlling. You know, I said this to Freddie, you know, this morning. I said, how you doing? He said, man, I'm doing great. I had a great morning. I woke up alive today. I said, I did too. You know what I mean? I woke up early, you know what? And I went outside, and it was cold outside. And I went to the barn, and I did a bunch of crunches, you know what? And I did a bunch of pull-downs, you know what I mean? And you know what? And I said, it was awesome. Because you know what I did? I told my body, you're doing what I tell you to do. I said, man, that is cool. Isn't it good to tell your body to do what to do instead of your body telling you what to do? Well, let me tell you what. I'm not saying anything's wrong with the exercise. I'm just giving you what it is. It's a little profit. But can I tell you what? I don't know how many cards I handed out, but for all I know, all those cards are going to someday equal people in the family of God. And I'm going to be up in heaven, and I'm going to see that guy, and I'm going to say, dude, you're the Ford guy, man. Or better yet, he's going to come up to me and he's going to say, man, I will never forget you. Because let me tell you what, I couldn't forget what you prophetically said to me. And months and weeks, it just kept on going in my head. And I got back involved with the old church that I left a long time ago. And I went to that pastor that I left and I told him, I'm sorry, I never should have left. Here's what I'm saying. You will sit there in the same seat next week unless you determine in your mind and your heart, I am going to invite some people next week. You'll learn. Are you still glad you came today? Okay. Amen. Tell me.
I think with as Pastor is pushing us and we've got ripe to remind us of what we're supposed to be doing. Remember when Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business? That's us too. Whether we're doing it or not, you know what? We must be about our Father's business. That's what we should be doing, but how much of it do we do in a day? And it really comes down to just being led by the Spirit of God. In the book of Acts, Jesus gave them some instruction, and then they obeyed the instruction. That's the formula. Hear the instruction, and then obey the instruction. And when we do that, we're what we're supposed to be. We're that light to all those around us. We have an anointing, as the Spirit of God lives in us, to go about our business and get involved in our Father's business. We have a command to do that. And if we will make ourselves, just consciously make ourselves available to the Father, prepare ourselves. You're not going to have nothing to give out if you're not putting anything in. So as we read and we pray and we're expecting that God is going to speak to us and that he's going to give us some instruction, and then we obey and we get busy about our Father's business. And as we do that, people's lives will be changed, because we are going to help people connect back to the Father. We're going to, the Spirit of the Lord, he said, is upon me. I've been anointed to set captives free, to heal the brokenhearted. Look around you. People need to be set free of all kinds of things. Brokenhearted need to be, you know what, healed. And they surround us every day as we go throughout our day. And every one of us is qualified to share the good news. And it's so interesting. You know what I think is not effective? Telling, you know, the you have a card, and I just want to let you know you need Jesus, and you're going to, you know, you. Okay, wait a second. What about if we just go throughout our day and then we begin to just let Jesus shine through us, be that light? Or, you know what, that we talk about, you know what God has done in our life. Jesus is just attractive. Whether you're walking it out or whether you're speaking it out. I was with some friends yesterday. It was in a, it was interesting. Let's see, how was that setting? It's an interesting setting, you know what I mean? And I was, as I sat there and people were going around and sharing in different things, and the Spirit of God just quickened me as I was hearing what was happening in people's lives. Actually, the lady who was directing it, this is not a Christian event, the lady who was directing it asked, we're going to go around the room, and I want one word of what you're feeling right now. So my word was amazed. And then she says, well, explain that. And I said, I'm amazed at how different everyone's story is in the room, and yet it's all exactly the same. They all had different backgrounds that they had come from. They all had different situations that had happened. But you know what the truth was? Every one of them was walking out the destruction of what sin brings in someone's life. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Remember I talked about Doug Weiss's book and how all those ladies kind of share their story? And it's just fascinating because they're all so different in the details, and yet they're exactly the same in the pain, the destruction, and the death as these ladies are describing their story and what happened to them. And so yesterday, in yesterday's setting, I just said amazed, and then she asked me a couple of, at one point, here, this is interesting, because we're all kind of going around the room sharing, but I would say, just guessing from hearing everything I heard in the room, I was probably the only Spirit-filled believer sitting there, you know what I mean? And so as we were getting done everything, and at one point the lady who was directing everything, I would say something, and she'd go, brilliant! You know why it was brilliant? Really, do you know why it was brilliant? I was just speaking truth. There were Jesus' words. Although I wasn't saying, well, Jesus says and the Bible says, I wasn't saying that. I was just speaking truth. And so, and for sure the lady who was directing things, you know what, did not have warm fuzzies about God, for sure. And yet, isn't it interesting? Because she goes, brilliant. He is brilliant. You know what I mean? He is. And see, she could see it in me. What she didn't understand is it had nothing to do with me except for that I know his words. And as I know his words, I end up looking brilliant, don't I? Right? And so it was very, very cool. But then the Spirit of God, as everyone shared, just said, hey, I want you to go over there and talk to those parents about their son. And I did. And then as I spoke with them and shared with them, I started, again, just speaking God's truth. Why? Because my heart goes out to the whole situation of what's going on. Because I want them to know the truth. Well, what ends up coming out, they're believers who are no longer in church. I didn't know that. I wouldn't have known that. You know what? They're totally looking for their son. You know what? He's struggling just to be set free. And I'm sitting there, and I know I have a lot of wisdom. Not my wisdom. God's wisdom on the situation. And so as I share that, you know what? They were just, and then they said, actually, is that a Christian church? You know, I was talking about the hangout, and they're like, oh, what is that? And they kept, and I said, well, it's at a church, you know what I mean? But that's not a church event per se. That's kind of like a concert that we're doing. And then they said, oh, what kind of church is it? See, they didn't care about that concert anymore. They wanted to go. They were bringing it out and pulling it out of me. What kind of church is that? I said, it's a Christian church. And then they said, oh, we're looking for a new church. I said, oh, great. And then thank God I had someone with me who tag teamed, because I did not have a card. But my friend had a card and ran to her purse and said, here, give him this. And so I was able to hand him a card. Handing a card is really important, because in the moment of all the talking and everything that's going on, if you can walk away with something in your hand, then you're really empowered that everything that the Spirit did there, you know what, that people are really empowered to be able to just follow through on it. And so that was really important. But we need to recognize. I ask the Lord when I wake up in the morning, and I encourage you to do the same. What can I do for you today? Speak to me. Is there something you want me to do? Is there something you want me to say? Because he's wanting all the people that are around me, he wants to reach them. If they're far from him, he wants them back. If they don't know him, he wants the reconciliation to take place. But I'm the one that's standing shoulder to shoulder with him. I'm the one that's right there. And if you'll ask him, and you'll just be patient and listen, you'll begin to have these testimonies of what God is doing. And all the seeds that you're dropping, whether you see the full harvest on it, I don't know if we'll ever see the man from the parking lot or not. That's not the point. The point is for him to see Jesus and for Jesus to see him, that would happen. You know what? That he would be reconciled with a relationship with the Lord. That's the point. And so we just do our part and we drop those seeds, whatever they are. Amen. I hope you're doing your reading. You know what? Absolutely. You know what? Be spending time in prayer and with the Lord, that he would use your availability to be able to begin to just minister to people. Amen. And bring them back to, quite frankly, to freedom and all kinds of things. You know what? Because people are just hurting. And Jesus is the answer. Amen.